together. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, tonight for Your love. We thank You, Lord, for the privilege we have now to open Your Word and share it together. Lord, we pray for Your Spirit to direct Your Word to our hearts. And Lord, at invitation time tonight, we just pray, Lord, that we'll be willing to follow You in whichever way You direct us. Lord, help us. You've done Your will. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We've talked the last few Wednesday nights about God, and we talked last Wednesday night in particular that we know God by experience, by the things we went through. We know Him by different names because maybe God has been this to us and God has been that to us. But I want to talk about tonight for just a few moments the nature of God. You know, every one of us have a nature, and I know we all have the sin nature, but I want to go even farther than that. Let me just pick on my wife, for instance. I never pick on her much, but let me pick on her tonight just for a second. Do you believe that Rochelle would have been a person in school who would have got up and gave a speech or been afraid to get in front of people? How many believe she'd have been afraid to get in front of people? Raise your hand. How many think she'd just jump up and she's afraid? She'd take a lesser grade in school and write it on a piece of paper, then stand in front of a class of 20 people and tell them. That's her nature. You think that Rochelle gets mad fast and gets over it? Or you think she gets mad slow and it'll last a while? How many think she gets mad fast and gets over it? How many think she gets mad slow but it lasts a while? Well, y'all are right. That's her nature. Now, let me tell you this. I have been around her family for the last 23 years. And what she has by nature, I have seen in some of her grandparents and some of her parents. And I know that this is a nature that's in her. But I'm afraid we don't know who God really is. God has a nature. And the more we know about God, the more we'll understand our nature. Because you know that you and I were created in God's image. According to Genesis chapter 2, His likeness. We were God's masterpiece in all of the creation. It's you and I. And I'm afraid that we don't have the characteristics we need of God. We don't let God's nature really live and come out in us. So maybe we need to know a little more about God than we do right now. And I think myself, I find myself every day wanting to know more about God and who He is and what He's all about and the things that are important to Him. But let me say this about God. First and foremost, God is love. God will not show me love, but God is love. Now there's a big difference in Him showing you and giving you love. And I believe God shows us His love. And I believe He gives us His love. But I want you to know that He is love. Everything that God does is out of love. God cannot do anything that's not in love. Even when it comes to discipline, God does it with love. And let me say this, God's love is always perfect. God has no such thing as a lesser love. His love is always the best. God's will for your life is always number one. He never thinks second best for you. I'm afraid in this world in which we live, a lot of people believe that God somehow loses His love for us that like He once had, and He does lesser things for us. When things happen in our lives, a lot of times we blame God, don't we? Do we say that God, You must not love me or You wouldn't have let this happen? Do we ever question God's love for us? Have you ever questioned God's love for you? I think we have all done that. I think it's easy to do. And let me ask you this question. Do you think it's wrong to ask God what's going on? You think that's wrong? God, what's going on? Is that wrong? I don't think that's wrong at all. But to question God's love for you, I believe that's wrong. So I want you to know tonight about God's love. I want to show you three things about God's nature before we go tonight. And the first thing I hope that you leave here and know is God is love. And He always wills the best for you. Whatever God's will is for your life, it is the best. He only wants the best for you. God never wants second for you. Now, I believe in two things tonight. I believe them very, very sincerely, and I believe them very certainly. Number one, I believe that God has a perfect will. But I also believe God has a permissive will. God will allow things to happen in our lives that were not His perfect will. This was not His master plan. In our college class the other night, we got to asking and talking about judgment and standing before God. And I made the statement that I'm afraid sometimes of what I have to give an account of I've done before God. And one of the students said this, and it really made me think more. One of the students in class said, I'm more afraid of what I haven't done for God than what I have done wrong. Do you think that God maybe will reveal to us His perfect will for our life? Could that be part of judgment for us? To know that this is what I had planned for you, Steve, but this is the road you chose? Is that a possibility? If God has a perfect will for my life, and God knows exactly what I need to be doing, and every turn that I take, and every wrong turn I make in my life will result in me getting away from God's perfect will. Amen? And that will result in problems in my life. Does God allow those things to happen? Absolutely. But we need to be rest assured tonight that God's will is always best for us. He always wants what's best for us. Go with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I can remember as a little boy, more than once, having to go to that room and waiting on Dad to come for discipline time. And he always had that saying, this is going to hurt me more than it does you. And we do this because we love you. And I always question the love. If you loved me, you wouldn't do that. Would be my last thoughts as he left the room. Until the day that I became a parent. And then everything that I ever saw Dad do, I understood at that very moment. When the doctor handed Josh to me and put him in my hands, for the first time in my life, I understood what my dad said. And the first time I ever had to go to his room and tell him, this is going to hurt me more than it does you, I could feel what my father felt for the first time. Those things were not words anymore, but those things became reality. And I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt tonight that God loves you when He whips you. And I'm reminded of this verse in verse number 6 of Hebrews the 12th chapter. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. I shared with you all a few weeks ago about my trip to the highway and got my good whipping for going up to see a car wreck. And to this day, I don't like car wrecks. And the road still scares me today. And I realize what Mom was telling me that day was reality. She was telling me the dangers of going there and the dangers of cars and the dangers of traffic and the dangers. But I never did understand the dangers until I experienced it. And I can tell you today that day that she whooped me that day, it was because she loved me. And I'm a firm believer that God has to chastise you and I to get us back where we need to be. You know why? Because He loves us. And let me put you one thought in mind to keep in thought all the way through the end of this thing tonight. God wants what's best for you always. And what I think's best for Steve may not be what God knows is best for me. Right? That's why God's in control and I follow Him. Go with me to the book of John, the 3rd chapter. And we read this and quote it every day. But I want to read it from John chapter 3. And I want to go to 1 John chapter 3. But go to John chapter 3 with me. Verse 16. No, probably not. 3 people in the whole building that could not quote this. But let's read it. For God so loved the world. I want you to think about God's love tonight as you read this verse. God loved the world in such a way, John says, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now go to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 John chapter 3. Who could quote that before we got there? How many could quote John 3:16? Let me see your hands. Now how about 1 John 3:16? This is just as important. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. What I know about this verse is that God not only loved me, but He demonstrated His love for me. And any time I ever doubt God's love for me, I do this one thing. And I'd like to challenge everybody to do this, if you will. Just give this a try. If you ever challenge God doesn't love you as much as He used to, or God doesn't love you like He loves someone else, as you're looking at your problem, and you're looking at your trouble, and you're looking at your situation, whether it's health, whether it's financial, whether it's your marriage has fell completely apart, I want you to look right through that trouble and see in the background Jesus hanging on the cross. And then ask yourself, does God love you? Every time that I doubt what He thinks of me, Jesus comes to my mind and what He did for me. Folks, there's no greater love that's ever been shown to man than when a man will give his life for his friend. And here the Bible is teaching us about God's love. And it says in verse 16 once again, hereby perceive we the love of God, or hereby we know the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. Every time you doubt it, every time you even have a second thought, if God's still watching, I want you to just look past that, whether it's your health, whether it's your marriage, or whatever it is, and I want you to see Christ being crucified and dying for you. And you'll understand His love. Folks, God loves us. He could not have showed love any other way than that way. Brother Paul and I were talking at the back door last week about Abraham and Isaac. There is no way that Abraham could have showed God any more that he loved God except the way he did. Willing to take his own son's life. You think that Abraham loved God? He did. There's no question in my mind that Abraham loved God. Abraham knew that God loved him. And he was willing to show God, I love you. Now this scripture even goes so far, and I want you to see this. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. How many of you would die for me? Brother McClellan said, if he was in a burden building, we might. didn't say he would. He said he might. I've had one friend in my life. I don't know if I can even tell this story, but I'll try. That really told me that he loved me. He's dead now. And we and him was riding a place called Mount Victory. Was riding to a place called we called the Overlook. Looked down on the white waters on the Rock Castle River. Me and him both had been seeing the heart doctor. And he said this. He said, "Steve, if my heart will keep you alive, I'll let you have my heart and I'll go ahead and die." He said, "It's more important for you to preach than it is for me to be here. I'll give you my heart if it would work." That's love. That's putting someone else before your own self. 2 years ago, I got a phone call in Belize from his wife that he had passed away. He's a year older than me. I know he's got a good heart today. He had a good heart then, though. The real heart that counted. The heart that he had gave out. But he had a good heart. Folks, God had the best heart. And he showed his love. We live in a world that wants to rip each other apart. God's nature is not coming through in his churches. We have people who make horrible, bad mistakes in their lives. And the churches throw them away. And we say all sorts of bad things about them. But I want you to know this. God has never, ever changed his love for that person. God's love is unconditional. That agape love, that love, Brother Paul, that I want in my life, I have yet to achieve it. My love is conditional. If you treat me bad, chances are I'll probably treat you bad back. That's conditional love, isn't it? You run me off the road, I'll run you off the road. You throw trash in my yard, I'll throw it in your yard. We that away. God's love is unconditional. We can treat God horrible, but God still loves me the same. Folks, that's the love that needs to be in His people. We need to all have God's characteristics in our life. We need to all share God's love. God's commands are even the best. You know, I sat down with an uncle last night. Bless his heart, I love him to death. But he wants the Bible to fit his life. Not his life fit the Bible, but he wants the Bible to fit into his life. So he takes verses and weaves them around and he makes it all fit. I want you to know that every law, every rule that God gave us was for your best interest at heart. Let me take you a couple places. Go to Deuteronomy. Everybody's favorite book of the Bible besides Leviticus. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Look at verse number 12. "And now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk all in His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord, and His statutes which I have commanded thee this day." Look. What's the last three things say? For thy good? Do you believe that every thing that God has put in this book is for your good? Then why do people ask preachers all the time, why can't we do this? Why does God think this is wrong? Do you ever question why God said we can't do that? Why we can't do this? Go with me another place in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 32. We've got to realize that everything God has gave us is for our best interest. Deuteronomy 32. Verse 46. He said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe, to do all the words of the law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through these things ye shall prolong your days in the land, whether ye go over Jordan to possess it. Everything God had told the children of Israel to do was for whose benefit? Theirs. Thank you, Dexter. Everything that God has told you in this book that you got in your lap, whose benefit is it for? It's for us, right? It's for every individual that's got it laying in their lap. This is for your benefit. So who's hurting if you don't do it? Right? Is this one of those things where I can only hurt myself? If I don't do it, am I hurting myself? If I don't read, am I hurting myself? If I don't pray, am I hurting myself? I'll show God, I just won't read the Bible. Preacher tells us we can't do this and this. I'll show the preacher. I'll just go ahead and do it anyway. Who are we showing? Nobody. Who are we hurting? We hurt ourselves. Every time we go against God's commandments, we only hurt ourselves. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. I think the word grievous there is talking about hard. I don't think God has asked you and I to do anything that should be hard for us to do. He said they're not grievous. John chapter 10 and verse 10 tells us the whole reason why Jesus even came. He came that we might have life, He said, and what? More abundantly. Is it very possible tonight that we're missing out on the best life that we could actually have because we're not obeying God? Let me give you a good example. Probably a bad analogy, but the best one I could think of it on top of my head. I think it's God's will that a man and a woman meet, share their life together. God said in the book of Genesis, the second chapter, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make him a helpmate. I think when I found Rochelle, I found someone who brings out the best in me. Someone who helps me in my frail parts of my life, the things that I don't do well. She overcompensates for me. The things I don't see, she sees. When I'm down, she picks me up. And I think that's what marriage is. We trust each other. We love each other. You know what? We do things for each other without even each other person asking. That's God's will. Now, God told Rochelle and I this. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Where'd that come from, preacher? What do you throw that in there for? You sit here talking about all the good things in marriage and all of a sudden you throw out adultery. I'm just telling you, God has started letting me have a life of abundance. I never knew what life was until I got married. And I shared with that special someone all that I never experienced in my life, I was able to experience through marriage. And God says, don't commit adultery. Now, why would God tell me that for? For my good. And I can tell you exactly why. Because if you do commit adultery, then you know the trust that we have sort of falls away, don't it? Does that happen? Sure it does. Is there envy? Is there hatred? Is there bitterness? Is there strife? Is there all those things that come with adultery? Do you think that hurts me having the best marriage that I could possibly have? The marriage that God had planned for me? Absolutely. Since I'm on the warpath, can I keep going? Y'all give me a nod. All right, let me give you some more. Young couples, dating and in love. God said it is a sin to have marriage before you to have sex before you get married. It's what God says. I didn't write it. It's what God says, though. He said it's fornication and it's wrong. And let me tell you something. That's the greatest gift you could give that person who you say you love. There's no other way you can give yourself except in that way. Now, who are you hurting if you don't listen to God? You're only hurting yourself. I'm telling you, God wants you to have this life that's so exciting, that's so abundant, that there's nothing but joy, joy, joy. But we've got to follow His way. Tell the person who says it's okay to drink a beer. Not a lot of beer, just one beer. Can't kill you. Tell that to those who are dead today because of a car accident. Probably didn't kill the guy that drank the one beer, but it killed the one that the car ran off and hit the other person. Preacher, don't get on that stuff. Too late. Done right there. So let me give you a challenge. Preacher, I'll tell you some of the stuff you think's wrong, I just don't believe it's wrong. Let me help you tonight. You sit down before you open that beer and you say, God, bless this beer that I can work for you. And then go ahead and drink it. Preacher, me and my girlfriend love each other. It won't hurt to have sex now. That's why we'll know we're compatible and we won't get married and get divorced like a lot of people do. Ask God to bless you before you do that. See if you can. Put it to the test. Folks, God has got the guardrails up for you. You can run over them. Or you can stay in the road. You know why He set those guardrails up? Because He loves you. And He wants you to enjoy the best life that you can possibly enjoy. And that's the introduction to my message tonight. Can I give you two more points before we go home? And they're quick. The most important point of tonight is this. God is love. And I want you to know this. I only believe as much about God as I practice. I only believe that much about God. And if I believe that God loves me and these commandments He gave me was for my benefit, then you know what I'll do? I'll practice them. And the ones that I don't practice and live by in my life, you know what? I'll say this about them. I don't think that's that important. I think that's controversial and I'll just stay away from that. Folks, we need to believe all of God's commandments. Because He told me they're for my benefit and for my honor, or for His honor. Let me tell you two last things. God is love, right? We all agree with that? Let me tell you two last things. God is also all-knowing. What's the word for all-knowing? Omnipotent? Ain't that right? God knows everything. His directions are always right. See, I look at this life as being a minefield. I think if I was in the military, the thing that would scare me the most is minefields. Because I've looked across some of those places, and from what I can tell, I can't tell where they are and whether or not. And it's just like, where do you step? And I'd be a nervous wreck if I had to walk across a minefield. But how would it be if the one that was leading you across the minefield is the one that knew where every mine was? Every dangerous place that you're about to step on, He knows it already. Would you like to follow that guy through? Me too. So let's look at this life as being a minefield. And everything out in front of you and I is scary and it's real. It's dangerous and it's true. But I want to tell you a secret. There's nothing out there that God does not know. He knows every single thing in front of you. And all you have to do is not go in front of Him. Let Him go through and lead you through. Would God ever put you in a dangerous situation? Don't say no. But He'll always take care of you. Folks, Stephen was in a dangerous situation. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was in a dangerous situation, wasn't it? But God took care of them. Because God knows where the mines are. Be willing to follow God all the way through. Don't ever doubt that He does not know what is right for you. And number three, God is all-powerful. When Rochelle and I went to Belize, let me finish my Belize story tonight. When Rochelle and I moved to Belize, I felt the need to resign my church on November, the first Sunday. We just got back from Belize, and I went forward and I told the church that my work here was done, and the Lord is wanting us to move to Belize. Dropped the bomb. Someone could see it, but they wasn't ready. Some got mad. And I said, as of next Sunday will be my last service to preach here. That's the first Sunday in November. The first Sunday in January, I was living in Belize. How many months was that? Three preachers gathered beside me one night eating supper, and they said, listen, Brother Steve, we're all for you. We're glad you're going doing the Lord's work. But it's impossible to go without being on deputation for 1 year. You don't need to go, one guy told me, unless you know for sure you've got $2,000 coming in every month. I pulled out of Somerset on a snowy January the 2nd, 2001, with $300 for sure coming in every month. God is all-knowing. He's all-powerful. You know that God knew I only had 3 years to be there? God knew that. I didn't know that. If I would have waited a whole year, I would have missed a whole year of my ministry in Belize. I didn't know I was going to have heart surgery, but God knew it, didn't He? And I'm going to tell you a secret. I never missed a taco. Had tacos and beans, and I was fed all the way through those times. You can tell. God is all-knowing. He's all-powerful. Folks, don't worry. God's got it under control. That's His nature. He says, Steve, trust me. All you got to do is read Noah, Gideon, Paul. These guys found out that God was all-powerful. Noah and his boys built an ark. How big was it? It housed elephants and giraffes. I don't know how big that was, but it's big. Big enough to haul all the creatures in, and it didn't sink. You think that's what Noah did for a living was build boats? No. But God gave him the power. David wasn't a king, but God took a shepherd and made a king, didn't He? Last scripture, Isaiah 46, and I'll quit. Isaiah 46. Verse number 10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also... What? Do it. Folks, God will do what He says He can do. And if we're not able to do it, He will equip us where we can. Now, I realize some situations and circumstances that we get ourselves in are scary. And we wonder, how can we get through this? We've got to remember who God is, His nature. What God wants to do is what's best for you. And realize that He has a plan that will always succeed. God does not know failure. Amen? If there's a need in your life tonight, maybe you don't understand this salvation thing. Let me challenge you to do this tonight. Let me challenge you to realize that every person in this building tonight is a sinner. Because God said all had sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let me ask you to realize this. There's no way you can go to be where God is with sin in your life. Because God cannot look upon sin. But God had a plan for you to have life in heaven. And God, this was God's plan. God said, I will send my Son. He will die on a cross. They will bury Him in a grave. He will rise again. And because my Son did that, you can have eternal life. If you will confess that you're a sinner, and if you will ask Jesus into your heart, if you will do that, you can have eternal life. And then you can begin to work on that life that God wants you to have. That life that's abundance. That life that has all these things that God has planned for you. It only happens after you're saved. You'll never know the abundant life until you get saved. So if you're that person tonight and you know that you're not saved, you know if you died tonight that you would not go to heaven. I want you to not leave here that way. I don't want you to be afraid to come forward. I want you to come forward. And I want you to say, I want to go to heaven. And I want to know that I can. That's your choice tonight. And if you have been saved, your choice is to just follow God and live that abundant life. Let's stand for prayer.